Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to Podcast 2187, and this is the last episode that we are recording before The Last Jedi is in theaters and before we have seen the movie. So it's an interesting one. But first thing is first, we have Andrea back, and we have Jared and Mark.
Hi.
Oh, jeez. Thanks for introducing us. Like, we're crap. And what? Jared and Mark.
No, it's like, and returning as always. That's normal host voice. That's not depressing.
Hi to all my fans.
It's good to have you back.
I'm going to start tweeting crap.
We could have what do you call it? We could have had two people to talk about Wegmans if you would have been on with Kristen last week.
It was fate that I had to work, because that would have been so much Wegmans. Like, we probably wouldn't have been able to stop. It would have taken over the whole show.
Mark would have lost it.
Yeah, Mark would have had an aneurysm and we would
have
had to stop.
Have you guys thought about doing like a Wegmans podcast?
No.
No.
I just like to talk about Wegmans. Like, it's a truly wonderful place.
They don't want to force it. They just.
I don't want to force it. It comes naturally. Like,
yeah, it's organic.
Yeah.
Like so many of the products at Wegmans.
Oh my god! Like the whole organic section. All the veggies.
Isn't every single vegetable there organic?
No, they have organic and non-organic because they're not trying to force you to pay more money like Whole Foods. Like, they're like, you could do organic if you want, but if you, like, just want to buy whatever, you can do that, too. We're not going to judge.
Or can.
We're not going to judge at Wegmans.
Yeah, whatever. You walk in and they judge you.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. If you're not white, Wegmans don't want you. That's what I heard.
That is not true.
It's totally what I heard, that it caters to white people.
And where did you hear that?
Right.
On Stormfront podcast. I said, go to Wegmans because we all Nazis shop there.
Well, they can at me and I will meet them in Wegmans parking lot and it'll go down.
I don't know if I've ever wished we had a video chat on this thing more, because I was just smiling so big at Mark's nonsense right there.
I don't know who those people are, but I believe that someone talked crap about Wegmans. Actually, I don't believe it, because Wegmans is great and no one would talk bad about it. Unless you work there and then you kind of complain while you're working, but then you leave and you're like, oh, I miss Wegmans.
So,
there was
this little thing called the Red Carpet World Premiere 2 days ago on Saturday. The Last Jedi. I thought that was obvious, but
could have been for The Room. Like that. Like, that was a big movie that came out.
Yeah, Ferdinand had a red carpet.
The other one, The Disaster Artist, that opened last week. Yeah.
Tim,
would I be bringing up The Disaster Artist on this podcast?
I don't know. Friend of the podcast, Noah, is super excited about it.
Am I Noah?
No, I don't think this podcast would be going on anymore if you were Noah, for a couple reasons. No offense, Noah. I'm very much looking forward to seeing The Last Jedi with you and Mark Thursday.
I'm going to hug the crap out of that kid.
It's going to be so great. I'm really excited.
Is he 18 yet? Seriously?
Yeah. No, he is.
Okay, cool. Because I don't want to hug him and then the cops show up.
I'll always remember his age because he said he was born the same year as Phantom Menace, either right before or right after, I forget.
How old is he then? Because I don't feel like doing math.
He's 18 because he came out in 99.
I can't even get him drunk.
Sometime next year he'll turn 20, but that just means that I believe by the time comes out, by the time Episode 9 comes out, he'll be 21. So. We'll have to all see that together, and we can get Noah drunk.
Would you guys hold it against me if I roofied him so he missed the Phantom Menace? I mean, so he missed Last Jedi, like, falls asleep? I'm not going to do anything to him. I'm just going to make him, like, fall asleep.
You'll still take him to the movie? We'll take pictures of him sleeping in the movie. I mean, if CeeLo can say, if CeeLo Green can say, I don't see what's wrong with it. I tried to roofie her and I was unsuccessful. If he can say stuff like that and get away with it with his intentions, I feel like with you explicitly saying that it would be just to do this and you detailing the plan, what you did, I think you'd get away with it. I think at a minimum.
I just want to knock him out so he misses the movie and just be like,
yeah, I don't think you'd maybe like a week or something, work release, something. You're not going to do hard time.
Okay. Well, that might be worth it. Side of the road picking up trash, you know, it's good for the community.
That's true. Let's just do that anyway.
Part of me feels like I'm like obliged to edit out the entire first part of this podcast.
He doesn't listen to it.
No, I'm not talking about for him.
He's under legal implication. No. You can just put a disclaimer where it's like all discussions of kidnapping, you know, involving persons real or imaginary are completely fictional and works of our mind.
Yeah, most likely we're meeting up at Red Robin, and I don't care how good those French fries are; those are not putting you in any sort of sleep coma. Yeah,
unless we get him like a turkey loaf or something, when like give him extra tryptophan, there's no way we're getting him sleepy.
Or just sock him in the face, knock him out.
We're just some premeditated assault. That's all. Kidnapping is off the board.
Well, either way. No outlaw will be there with us, at least in spirit, depending on what happens. But it's quite the crew. Andrea, you're seeing it with who on Sunday?
My brother and my parents. And oh my God, I want to tell you guys, I showed my parents The Force Awakens yesterday because my dad never watched it with us. And I'm like, I do not want you asking me any questions while we see The Last Jedi. So we're going to watch the last one. And he was like, okay. He was like, you're going to come over? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, great. He was just excited that I was coming over. And then my mom was like, I didn't see the last movie because she still thinks that Rogue One is part of the new trilogy. And I was like, no, you saw the last movie because I watched it with her. I showed it to her and she loved BB-8. And she was like, no, I didn't see it. I have to watch it because she just didn't believe me because she was like, there was one and I didn't go see it. And I was like, that was Rogue One. It wasn't part of this trilogy. And I've had like four conversations with her explaining that Rogue One is not part of the trilogy. And she's still like, no, I haven't seen it. So I was like, okay, we'll all watch it together. So I played it. And oh my God, their reactions to it were so funny. I wish I could have like recorded them. My mom freaked out because she knew the part. She realized she'd seen this movie before. Spoilers.
How far in did you realize it?
I think she realized it when she like figured out that she loved BB-8. She was like, oh, she was like, what's his name? And I was like, BB-8. And she's like, baby? And I was like, no, BB-8. And she's like, oh, okay, I like him. And then she was like, crying at the screen whenever BB-8 made a sad beep. She's like, oh, he's upset. And we got to the part where it's like where they're on the Starkiller, and she was like, Andrea, I know it's coming. I remember. I know it's coming, and I don't like this part. I don't like it. And I was like, Mom, it's a movie. It's okay. And she's like, I'm leaving. And she got up and just left and went upstairs and came back when she thought that part was over without dying. And my dad had a totally different reaction. First of all, he kept asking us if Poe was dead in the beginning because he liked Poe. And I was like, yeah, he's gone. Like, he's not here anymore.
Oh, you messed with him?
Well, that's what they play it off as. They're like, yeah, he died. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what it seems like. And he was like, oh, man. And then he came back and my dad was confused. I was like, wait, I thought that guy died. And then
they don't really explain it at all, like, or even sort of hint at anything. He's just like, yeah, woo, I'm flying.
Like, I'm like, how did he get off this planet with, like, no issues? And then we get to the part with Han dying, and he was like, my dad still doesn't know that Han's name is Han. He's just like, wait, who's that old guy? I know him. And I was like, that's Harrison Ford. And he goes, oh, yeah, I like Harrison Ford. So then he just kept referring to his character as Harrison Ford the whole time. He's like, oh, yeah, Harrison Ford. He's a great character. and he liked Ray, and he told me I reminded him of Ray because I am also feisty. And I was like, thanks, Dad. And then we got to Star Killer, and my dad had a full meltdown when Kyle killed his dad. He was like, wait, that was his dad? And I was like, yeah, that's his dad. And he goes, I'm sorry, Tim, I have to swear because my dad was swearing like 50 times. He was like, that bastard killed his own father. And his father was Harrison Ford, and he killed him? He killed Harrison Ford? Who was his dad? His dad's Harrison Ford, you kill him? What a bastard. And he's like, he said the most Italian thing, he kept saying, I want that guy bumped off. And I was like, what? And he was like, I want Ray to bump that guy off. I want him gone. He killed Harrison Ford.
I'm 100% with your dad on this one.
And I think he's right. At first he thought Kylo, well, he was like cheering for Ray to kill him. He was so mad. He was like, yeah, kill him. He was like, what are you doing? Just standing there. Just finish him. Why are you just standing there? He was like, just end this already. And then he thought Kylo died, like, because Ray just left him. And he was like, oh, good. I don't have to see that guy again. And I was like, Dad, he's not dead. And he was like, what? So then he gets a piece of paper out because his memory is not super great. And he's like, what's that guy's name again? And I was like, Kylo. So he writes on a post-it saying, Kylo killed H. Ford.
What?
And then he just put it on their kitchen island, and now it's just gonna sit there until Sunday because he wants to remember.
Is your dad basically a memento? He's gonna tattoo it on himself so he remembers everything.
Yeah, he's pissed. He's like, that guy better get bumped off in the next movie. He's like, seriously, I'm ready.
Okay, here's the deal. Next time when you watch The Last Jedi with your parents, just record it. Just audio record it, and Tim can edit the pieces in, because this is gold, so I'd like to hear it personally myself. Or just put your mom and dad on a podcast with you.
we should have all of our families on.
Oh, God, no.
About it. I don't think they'd want to be on a Star Wars podcast, but I can't wait. I really
I was thinking for the entire episode, but just for like brief segments, I think it would be kind of funny. Because I just remember talking to my parents briefly after we saw it in the theater, and their reactions are so funny. Like, because they're not connected to it the way we are.
Well, my dad wasn't really like into Star Wars, which is weird because he's like in the better age group. Well, I mean, I guess he's like a little old for it, but he knows who the main characters are in the old trilogy, but he like isn't super familiar with it. So this is all like brand new. It was really cute. And his favorite characters were Rey, Finn, and Harrison Ford. My mom's favorite characters were BB-8, Princess Leia, and Rey. Rey really climbed up there on my parents' chart in one movie.
I'm getting weird vibes from Daisy Ridley lately.
Why?
I don't know.
I think she seems kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she realized how much.
Like, John Boyega is still at 112%. You know, he's just like, yes, I'm in Pacific Rim next. I'm just going. And Daisy Ridley seems like, I'm ready for it to be over. Yes.
Well, I don't think she's stopped. Like, she finished her degree, which is like a whole stress in and of itself. Like, she went back to school full time, and then right after she did that, I don't think she took like a break that we know of, and then just started filming movies and directing nonstop. So she's probably like ready for
Boyega.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like
Boyega was in that movie with Hermione, and
I don't know. I feel like she also had to, like, she had to delete social media because she was getting so much, like,
well, that's because guys are a-holes.
I don't think John Boyega has to deal with any stuff like that. Like,
I don't know, though. He got a lot of racist stuff thrown at him from the very, very beginning, and he's never deleted himself. He did. He did briefly right before Force Awakens came out. They both did, but he came back long before she did, and on more platforms. But that being fair, it's not the exact same. They're different situations, and it's like I feel like the guys who came out of the woodwork to be jerks to John Boyega because they're racist bigots, you know, those guys, they're not as invested in the fandom by and large. It's not as prevalent as the misogyny and that kind of guff that she gets, I think, just for being a woman in the public eye in general and in a nerd-heavy fandom, you know, if that makes any sense. Like, there's just a larger amount of
fandom more than anything else.
It's a what?
I think it's a nerd-heavy male fandom more than anything
else. Yeah. It is. It is. I think she's more likely to get it specifically from, like, the Star Wars fandom. At least more often and maybe in more varieties. Whereas, like, there's one kind of, again, pardon me for cursing, so I'm just going to not say anything, but imagine the worst thing that Tim would bleep possible. But these guys, you know, say stuff to John Boyega, there's really one class of human being who does that, and they're overtly awful humans. Whereas, like, it's every strain and kind of insidious jerk who harasses women, as we've seen now. It's like these guys are what do you call it, I don't know, they come in every variety. They're chameleons, you know, pretend to be good guys, like I don't know, the kind of racist jerk. There is no racist jerk who is a secret member of the KKK who, like, infiltrates, you know, and tries to be friends with everybody. You know, there's no male feminist equivalent, I feel like. You know.
Yeah.
And on a different note, I really hate social media. I really do.
Well, I don't know. It's for some reason I feel like John Boyega just seems more like equipped.
He handles that stuff really, really well, for sure.
And he, I don't know, that guy is just like a ball of energy. I love it.
He's dealing with it. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I definitely think about account. That too. I mean, I'm not like a body language expert or anything like that, but she just seems like tired, which I honestly would probably be like, everyone get away from me. I just want to go sleep.
Like, the jury's still out on Rose and what she brings to this.
She is so cute.
Oh, no, well, Kelly Marie Tran's really Kelly cool, but you're talking about the character in the film, right?
Yeah. I have no idea whether she's going to be around, whether she brings anything important, what the situation is. But just your unadulterated, like, joy, Kelly Marie Tran is pretty cool. Because it's like, that's probably how I would be if I was in a Star Wars movie.
She's the cutest person I've ever seen.
I would be cute,
probably.
But it'd be just be like, you know, Brian too.
She's adorable. Oh,
no, she has such a great energy, like you said, Mark. Like, there's this positivity, and it's like it's like John Boyega's, but it's different. It's like, and I think it's almost,
she's like a ray of sunshine.
I think the two of them, it's a little bit because they're younger than, say, Oscar Isaac. But I think the three of them compared to Daisy Ridley, it's like that's the difference between someone who came in a big fan and someone who's just an actor who's really good at it, who got cast in the part because they were good for the part, you know. And I'm not saying that one's better or not for it, but maybe they're more I don't know, ready for the kind of crap they're gonna get because they imagined it, because they saw their heroes, you know. Like, if you grew up wanting to be in Star Wars and saw Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Natalie Portman and everybody's careers, then you kind of have some idea of not only are you going to be under a microscope, but it could go really bad for you, you know. Like, you could turn into a Hayden Christensen thing. And someone who's more on the outside looking in, they're just going to think of it as, oh, Star Wars was a giant thing when I was a little kid, and it's not as important. It wasn't as important to her, she said, and, you know, growing up. And I feel like it's something of a reason why maybe Daisy Ridley isn't as exuberant and is a little burnt out by comparison. They were not just ready for it, but maybe looking forward to some of this stuff.
Well, the thing is that I think for her, she runs the greatest risk of being typecast because she's not out there doing other things. I mean, granted, she was in Murder on the Orient Express, but who really watched that movie, to be honest? And
she's been, like, directing, hasn't she? She's been, like,
been doing different stuff.
As far as physically in front of the camera, Harrison Ford didn't get typecast. Carrie Fisher got a little typecast. Mark Hamill definitely got typecast, which is, you know, I think one of the large reasons why he went into voice acting. But you know, I think John Boyega is not going to be that way. Oscar Isaac won't be, but it feels like the one person who's running the risk of always being known as Rey is going to be Daisy Ridley. And it's almost like maybe being an actress isn't something she wants to do full time, but she really needs to get into some other roles just to not constantly be known as Rey, you know?
Yeah. And wasn't she offered Tomb Raider and she said no?
Yeah, I believe so. She was at least in talks for it.
I kind of see, though, because she's probably like, I don't really want to be another, like, typecast, like, an action.
Well, and not just an action, but a desert scavenger, as New Rey was. It's like, and now she's a Tomb Raider. It's like I'm just saying. I know Lara Croft is a character with a large backstory mythology from all the games and movies and tie-in media, but there are some surface level similarities that in just the origin movie for a new version of Tomb Raider are going to feel really similar to Rey. Like it's just, you know, it's this awesome, talented, powerful young woman who is a scavenger.
I don't know.
It, that wouldn't help with the typecasting. I don't think.
Can we transition this into red carpet talk? Cause honestly, I have some, well, honestly, I did not like Daisy's outfit. Can I just say that?
Oh, we're not doing that.
I'm just saying. I want her, and I want Felicity Jones to fire their stylist, and I want them to hire the stylist that Lupita has because she always looks amazing.
She looks good.
Her outfits are always great. Daisy, who dresses Daisy? I want to know because they put her in the weirdest. Like she's so young and pretty. And they put her in, like, the weirdest outfits. I'm like, why, Daisy? I mean, if she likes it, whatever, but...
She needs a long Arctic Monkey shirt like Noah.
I have plenty she could borrow.
Well, there you go. I wasn't sure what our good friend of the show, Noah, was taking pictures of basically a Arctic Monkey's nightgown he was wearing in the mirror, but whatever. Whatever floats your boat there, pal.
So, but how many of you saw...
People in your fridge.
How many of you saw the entire red carpet, though?
Oh, God, no. Did you?
Yeah.
I had to work.
You're a psycho.
Thanks,
I got home from work late, so I didn't watch all of it. I saw, like, the last, like, half hour, probably. And I looked up... I googled pictures of people's outfits because that's what I truly care about.
Okay, because in all the pictures, like when everybody was up on stage and they took some press pictures before the movie, they interviewed every single person who was on the stage. They interviewed at the red carpet except for one person. They never even addressed that John Williams was there. I wouldn't have even known if it weren't for these pictures that he was there. But everyone else, they did talk to and have a little interview.
Did he not want to be interviewed?
Maybe. I don't know, but I still would like to have them address and like show him on camera that he's there beyond the pictures that are online.
Rude.
But like I said, though, they did talk to everybody else and then some, like Frank Oz and a couple other people, Star Wars classic people who were there. And then there are a lot of celebrities who aren't related to Star Wars who were there, too. And it was interesting. But from what you guys did see, what stood out to you the most?
There's a lot of people that are there that don't deserve to be there. Let's see.
Whoa.
Now and then you see, like, you'll see somebody that you may know of or heard of tangentially on Twitter, and you're like, how the hell is that person there?
No.
How'd they go? What? Maybe it's sour grapes on my part, but part of me is just like, wait, let me go see what, who are you now? Wait, got there.
I'm in a bubble. I didn't recognize anyone. I was like, who are these people?
But I know that our friend Kyle, our listener of the show.
Kyle wasn't one I was talking about. I was just going to say how
cool is it that Kyle got to go?
Yeah, I saw that. That's so
I know Sal's gone a few times now, which is rad every time he gets to go. But it's always cool when we get to see one of our Troop and friends get a chance to go there. It's pretty rad.
The other one that confused me, that why were you even there, was Filoni. I was like, why is he there? Good God.
His outfit. I'm sorry. A lot of my commentary is probably going to be about people's clothes, because that's the only reason why I watch red carpet events ever. Really? So just looking at outfits.
You know, at this point, I'm offended at the hat.
It looks bad. Like, what is he trying to do? Like, what is this look?
Offended at the hat.
Okay,
I'm offended at the hat.
There's a time and place for a cowboy hat.
He explained it once, and I do think it was probably a somewhat real, like, reasoning for it. But at this point, I don't think it really flies.
What was it? Was it like it was grandfather's hat?
I think originally somebody either gave it to him or he got it because he liked the, because he was being a super nerd because he worked at Skywalker Ranch and the fact that he worked at the ranch. But he ended up wearing it in public so that he could do an instant, like, Clark Kent Superman thing at conventions. Everyone knows it's him when he walks around with his goatee and his hat walking around at a convention. But if he takes that thing off and puts it in his bag or whatever, then instantly people don't know it's him for sure. People don't come up to him and engage him in the same way because they're not 100% positive as they are when he is wearing the hat.
So it's what you're saying, Dave Filoni thinks he's effing Superman.
Basically, yes. He thinks he's better than us, is what I'm saying.
No.
While I understand the reasoning behind it, it is a bit extreme because, I don't know, man. First off, yeah, a Star Wars convention anytime before 2012, from 2008 to 2012, he was a big deal. But at this point, going to the Last Jedi premiere, nobody cares. He was at Rogue One premiere as an invited guest. So was Wesley Crusher, who I don't have a big problem with. Other people hate him.
He's an a-hole.
But I don't love the guy.
Who is that?
He was a guy who was in Star Trek: The Next Generation. But people complained about him going to the Rogue One thing, and I didn't really care until because the people I hung out with while being in the crowd of just fans around the outside of the Rogue One red carpet premiere, I saw Steven Stanton. Got a chance to actually hang out with him and have a nice conversation with him for a minute. But he was a voice in that movie, and he wasn't invited. But then, like, Filoni's invited to this one and the next one. Yeah, he was not an attendee. He was just there with us, and he was freaking Raddus. And it's like, that seems insane to me that there are people from
Wesley Crusher got to see the premiere, and the voice of Admiral Raddus, Steve Stanton, is standing outside in the line with you guys?
Yeah, just as a fan of Star Wars.
Like, this film sucks.
it's really absurd to me that that's the case when, like you say, like, these people are invited to the Last Jedi premiere, the Rogue One, and the Force Awakens premiere, who have nothing to do with it, but then people who've been veterans of Lucasfilm and of Star Wars for, at this point, almost 10 years. I mean, he's been involved at least since the Clone Wars, so that's 9 years, and we don't care. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, that seems ridiculous. And but then Filoni gets props for everything, even if he has nothing to do with it. That doesn't seem fair.
Do we know what's happened to Admiral Raddus? Is there anything in canon? I mean, we assume we know what happens to him, but do we know?
They can't do the old Ackbar thing because Ackbar was retroactively always around. Because in the old canon, he wasn't around during in old EU and Legends, he wasn't around during A New Hope and Empire because he was Tarkin's and then maybe somebody else's slave. Like, he was a personal slave, and I mean, eventually he got free and became Admiral Ackbar again. But they could do that now with Raddus, where he was captured and he is turned into somebody's slave. And that way, at least he could live, and you could have him do some, like, Hogan's Heroes stuff. How's that for a Netflix show, Mark? Hogan's Heroes, like, starring Raddus.
All with Mon Calamari people.
Raddus's Rebellion.
And an occasional rebel trooper with the weird ass hat.
I'm trying to think of who, like, the Star Wars equivalent of Colonel Klink is. I feel like the comical.
Oh, that's a good one.
Probably somebody from like that first season of Rebels, like one of those doofuses. But they got killed, didn't they?
Mild Grint and
That guy ended up getting killed though, I think.
Yeah, they wiped those guys away.
Okay, so, go ahead.
What were you excited about, Tim? You watched the whole entire red carpet twice.
Once in slow motion. You told us this before we started recording.
Oh yeah, right.
You know that they interviewed everyone except John Williams, so obviously you picked your part.
Double check that.
Right. What is it about the red carpet that inspired you, Tim?
Inspired? I didn't ask what inspired you. I just said what stood out.
Okay, I didn't watch it. I'm really over the whole, you know, pat yourself on the back kind of deal. I mean, it's awesome if you're there, I imagine. If you're a fan and you're watching them walk down the red carpet. But at this point, I just want to see the movie. You know, it's cool to see them walk by, and it's cool to see pictures. And I like some of the little, I'm going to say GIFs because to hell with GIFs. But the GIFs that I see of especially Kelly Marie Tran just generally enthused to be there. That's cool stuff, but I don't want to watch a 2 hour or hour.
Wow, what a fake fan.
I don't even watch the Oscars. I used to watch that with my mom for the Oscars, and I was so into it. And we used to do like the Oscars every year growing up. And then now it's just like, the hell with it.
You guys are like Joan and Melissa Rivers.
Okay, wait, pause. I just saw a picture of Daisy when she's not moving like the fringe part of her outfit, and it looks good then. It looks okay then. But when it's just a weird dress. All right.
I also just want to point out quickly that we have a couple of our friends and associates on the Making Star Wars Podcast Network who are now saying that they just got out of the movie, and like Randy and Corey and a couple others.
Yes.
So, and basically all they're saying is that it's a lot to process and amazing. That's it.
Are you done?
Yeah, he's not spoiling.
No.
They
okay,
do
but
not get spoiled
okay. Here, by. Here's my thing. Here's, can I say have an opinion on something?
Sure. No,
thank you. Thank you. Shh. I don't really care about spoilers as much as I care about people's like really hyped up reactions. Like I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear it. Because
it's the greatest Star Wars movie of all time, and I don't even need to see Episode 9.
Or is it better than Empire? Or the best Sense? Which one is it? Is it the best Sense Empire, or is it better than Empire? Which one do you think?
No, the one that pissed me off. Excuse my French, Tim, was the one that said the greatest Star Wars movie ever, and I don't even need to see Episode 9. And it's like,
really?
Shut up.
See, I don't like seeing all that stuff because I have to wait.
That's
and then it like
hype to me. Like,
yeah, and it's like people who are like, I'm not gonna post any spoilers, but then they're like, and then they post a GIF of like someone like screaming or like passing out or something, and I'm like, okay, like I get it. You liked the movie. No one is surprised. Can you not give me these super crazy high expectations? Don't believe the hype.
Real quick. What
you put in the music cue,
Andrea.
Tim.
Andrea.
What?
Hey, that peanut butter that starts with JIF, what do you call it?
Jeff.
The name of the small video file that starts with GIF, what do you call it?
Jeff.
That makes no sense. Anyways, Tim, go ahead.
I mean, that was pretty much it. The one thing to really get to was the red carpet, and then a couple other things, but that's a whole separate.
Wait, no, pause. Thing. Did you guys see that John Boyega was wearing a turtleneck and a suit jacket?
Who really cares?
No.
Me! I want to talk about this.
Wait, why is this a bad thing?
No, it was great.
I was going to say, I love
a man in a turtleneck.
Personally, that look reminds me a lot of Bruce Wayne because that's what Michael Keaton sported in 1989 when I was a kid. I went to see Batman. So I think that's like the coolest look like a dude could possibly have. Like that's pretty much, it's like James Bond in a tuxedo and then a dude in a turtleneck in a really nice
suit. John Boyega could slide into my DMs.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, wow.
Tim, edit that out.
Oh. Are you guys saying if John Boyega slid into your DMs, you wouldn't be like, "What's up, John?" My DMs.
He's gonna need to ask. He's gonna need to ask permission to join my group.
You wouldn't
he
be
can't
like,
just slide into my DMs.
You wouldn't be like sup with the eyes emoji. That's like,
No.
Like two eyes. There, and like, hey.
Look, there was a picture. There was a picture of him and Lupita Nyong'o together. That
oh man,
that
stop.
Yeah, they look great. They look great. But slide into DMs, Andrew. Her? Come on, you're better than that.
Am I?
I don't know. I just think it's almost a good. It's almost a good dig. I don't know what I can use to insult you though, because you're kind of above insulting. You don't take anything personally.
Wow, that is not true.
Was that an insult?
No, that was
no,
real.
Not at all.
That was a very nice comment. I do not believe it's true, but it's very nice.
I'm saying I don't think I could. If I tried to put you down, I don't think it would take. I think
wow,
just
my
laugh
ego
off.
Is so big right now.
Yeah, you're just
I
like
don't
Wonder
think I
Woman
fit through
deflecting bullets.
I don't think I'm going to be able to go to work tomorrow because my ego is just too big now.
I used to see if Blake can go after you because he was trying to. Jared, thanks for the advice.
That and Elvin listens to this and hears you just say that because it's so untrue that it's funny.
No, because yesterday he tried to jump into my timeline and troll me, and I was like, I remember what Jared said. He just likes to troll people. I'm not doing it.
I'm so glad that like my mom or grandma like advice.
It was like, it was you know, like when Ray closed her eyes in the Force Awakens. You had like a moment. You had the Force flow through you, and you're like, not gonna let him troll me this time.
Ignore Blake. Yeah, so, pretty much.
So just like Luke remembering Obi-Wan's words, you remembered my words. That's beautiful. That's...
Why did you guys have a conversation about this?
No, we were just talking. I was it even on the show? Maybe on one of the episodes you were off. It was just about how.
Wow,
Blake
you can't
loves...
talk about Blake when I'm not here.
What? Of course I can. I hang out with Blake. It was just.
I don't care. All right. Can we just go through our favorite outfits? I've been really excited to talk about this.
I think you might be the only one because I didn't watch. All right.
So my favorite outfits. Oh shoot! All right.
Tim knows.
Lupita, that girl who's in Battlefront, who's wearing a jumpsuit.
Oh yeah, Farfrae Cars.
Yeah, whatever.
Janina Gavankar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Calamari Tran looks beautiful. John Boyega, I already said. I have no idea what Oscar Isaac wore. I missed him.
He wasn't there.
Oh, what?
He's a baby.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's
dude, you just sound like Jerry Seinfeld.
I'm okay with that.
Me or Jared?
No, Jared.
Oh, okay.
I have watched so much Seinfeld, like maybe more than any other show. Because my parents watched it every night of the week from like the time I was like in like what into grade school through high school. So, yeah, I've seen that and MASH by more than anything. So I'll take that.
The hell with MASH. Sorry.
No worries. I just watched it. It was on a lot.
There was no more depressing thing. Like I would often like leave the TV on when I was growing up. And I'd fall asleep, and I'd wake up to the MASH theme song, and I was like, son of a... Oh, God.
It's a depressing show, and specifically, that theme song is both sad musically, and the lyrics are literally about the good sides of suicide. Like, so...
Yeah, no wonder I don't like that show.
It's a depressing show. Like, you're not... It's inherently depressing. Like the first words of the first words of the song that the music from the theme song is taken from are "Suicide is painless."
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a depressing show. So, pretty outfits. Not the depressingness of MASH.
John Williams' outfit was stellar.
What'd he wear?
A suit.
men's fashion is boring for red carpet.
It really is, right?
Mostly because they all, well, it doesn't have to be, but they all wear the same thing. Like John Boyega wearing a turtleneck. I'm like, what? Who? He did that? Because everyone always wears the same outfit, basically.
George Lucas's outfit was pretty solid.
What'd he wear?
He wore a suit, but it was a plaid suit.
Ooh.
Guys.
Like lumberjack.
I could dig it.
He wasn't even there.
Yeah, I was just going to say this clearly. Oh. Mm-hmm.
See,
Spielberg's clothes were great.
Why was George Lucas there?
He hasn't gone to any of them lately. He doesn't do this stuff.
He's too cool.
He's retired.
Okay. Retired people do nothing 7 days a week. He could show up.
He has nothing to do with the company though anymore. He's done.
Yeah, but doesn't he want to see it?
Bob Iger, he looked great.
He might have already seen it. I mean, he had seen Rogue One ahead of the premiere.
Andy Serkis, his hair looked greasy and amazing.
All right, you know what?
His hair looked greasy.
I don't want to talk about this
anymore. It does kind of, right? It's kind of his greasy hair. No? All right.
Yeah, we're done
talking outfits.
He's going to... I am looking forward to seeing Andy Serkis, though, in The Last Jedi and then in Black Panther shortly after.
Yes. Yes. I already miss him as Caesar.
Nobody's discussed Anthony Daniels' suit. Come on.
Okay, what kind
you
of
know suit? What? I am over Anthony Daniels. Move on. Go find another job.
I think we all knew that. What do you mean, what? Mark has had nothing but bad things to say about C-3PO being played out and pointless all year long. Rogue One.
Don't take it out on him.
He's the George Takei of Star Wars. Just glomming on.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are rude.
I didn't say he molested a young boy. What I said was he's the George Takei of Star Trek or Star Wars.
Wait, I want to see his outfit.
Nobody gives a crap about him. I'm over C-3PO.
His outfit was just a suit.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Tim.
What's that?
His outfit was just a suit.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was.
Yeah, it's just I'm looking at it right now. Just okay, a suit with a silver tie.
Yeah.
I literally Googled this for you. So I was like, ooh, what do you wear?
Oh, I really didn't even remember. I thought it was a suit. I don't know. I'm just trying to
was trying to be cool.
No, I'm just trying to keep, conversation going.
Do you know what I like about this?
Conversation going, no problem, buddy.
Do you know what I like about this premiere is that they had this screen of Tumblr fan art behind them that it was just switching art the whole time. I feel like that could have gone real bad real easily.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They must have pre-selected it. They had to.
No, they absolutely had to. But it's still.
Stuff
can slip through the cracks.
There's one of Poe praying next to a hospital bed with Finn Lang in it, and John Boyega standing in front of it with a thumbs up. that was definitely done by some Poe Finn shipper.
That's good. I love it. That's great.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room that no one's talked about?
What is it?
This giant AT-M6 that's towering over everyone at the premiere, the daddy AT-AT.
Didn't like it?
No, I loved it. It was dressed like the outfit it wore was amazing.
It was a great look.
Yeah, it really was. You know, it wore a turtleneck. And it's not often you see an AT-M6 wear a turtleneck, but he pulled it off. Very impressed. Him and John Boyega.
Ready.
All right. That joke fell.
It looked really good. I liked it.
Tim's making me sink into the floor.
Why?
I'm watching Get Out. Leave me alone.
I mean, okay, so.
That is a good movie.
Oh, God. I haven't finished it. Shut up.
I'm not going to say anything about it other than I love Jordan Peele, man. That guy's really good.
All right now is I need his friend to come to the rescue bad.
That guy, I mean,
don't spoil me. Don't spoil.
Like, No. I just the actor. I like him so much. I ended up watching all of the Carmichael show, starring Gerard Carmichael, and I liked the guy who created it and starred in it and other stuff. But he plays his little brother in it, and he's so funny. The guy plays his best friend in Get Out. That guy, he steals the show and everything he's in. He's so he's amazing.
All right, Jim. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that, like, as far as I'm concerned, we were done with the red carpet stuff. So, like,
right. Hey, peace out, y'all.
Yeah. My upstairs neighbors finally made sounds while you get. Well, I'm recording with you guys. They just dropped their bowling ball as they do most nights, a few times. So yeah, it's a good time for us to peace out for spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, you guys.
Tim can monologue it.
No, I mean, like I said, Mark, stick around for the first part. After that.
I'll hear track listings.
I can't wait to hear you and Andrea spoil it out. That should be fun.
Huh? I don't want to be spoiled.
None of us do.
So how are we doing this?
Wait, did you care about the track listings?
Are these like spoilery?
Okay, you know what? I might stick it out with Tim. I don't know. All right, go, Tim. Just hurry.
Well, wait
go.
A second. I don't like.
Just go before Andrea has a chance to decide first.
Wait.
It's a track list. It's a track list.
Am I gonna get like?
Is there a Qui-Gon's noble end? That's my
peace
question.
Peace and prosper. Peace and prosper. that's a track.
There's not a Qui-Gon's noble end, but I know some people have wanted to avoid it, so I don't know.
I don't care about stuff that won't like tell me anything.
Yeah, is anything super super obvious? Is one day like the death of Luke Skywalker?
Well, no.
There you go. That's all I wanted to know. But
possibly.
Like, I know that Luke is the last Jedi because we've been told 50 times.
But here's the thing. One of the tracks towards the end, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've seen 8 million track lists, and I honestly forget which is the real one. There's just a track towards the end of the album called The Last Jedi, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I get the stupid, but I love it and I own it, Last Dragon by Barry Gordy in my head when I start thinking of that maybe this is a scene. It could be like Luke dies, or it could be he just starts summoning all his Jedi powers, and it's like, you are the last Jedi, and it just starts
like a little disco ball drops down.
Yeah, and he just starts kicking ass. So
oh yeah,
I'm hoping that's what it is.
It's like when Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime, and the touch starts playing in the Transformers movie. It's like Luke gets his powers. Like, you got the touch. Yeah. No,
It could be the scene. And again, I have no clue where Luke's just kind of been a milquetoast the whole movie. Like, I'm afraid of this. And it could be the reverse of when you got Anakin going or Darth Vader going, no.
Wait a second, do that again.
No. Like maybe he sees Rey getting beat up, and maybe he's like cowering in a corner. He's just like, no. And it just flashes it out, and he somehow pulls the lightsaber out of his ass and, you know, just starts going to town. So who knows? I don't know what the track means. So it could be a spoiler. It could just be, hey, it's The Last Jedi.
So now that we've said that.
Movie, does that make any sense?
What did you say?
Excited to see the movie. Does that make any sense? I'm on my second beer of the night. I've had two shots of whiskey. It's a matter of days left before I see a bunch of people that I love and we watch Star Wars together. Bottomless fries.
Mark, in 3 days from this minute, we'll be in the middle of trailers at the theater. Before the movie starts.
Trailer. Tim will have already seen the movie, and we just like, "Huh, I saw the movie." He'll be sending me messages.
No, because I'll be in the second viewing right now.
Shut up!
Are you really seeing back to back?
Yeah, it actually just worked out that way. I didn't really plan on it, but it worked out.
so, no, fine. You're not going to text me in the middle? Whatever then, girl. Whatever. I don't need you.
I mean, you don't want me to, do you?
No, I was like, just tell me your opinion.
Okay. I mean,
although, you know what? If you're like, this movie sucks, then don't let me know. Because I'll be like, movie starting, and I just, Tim, this movie sucks. I'm not even going to the second showing. I'll be like, oh, wait, what?
So, anyway, Andrew, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm going to go now. Bye.
Bye. Peace out. Spoilers. We'll talk
good night.
All right, I'll hear track listings, and I don't know. I don't want to like get no. big spoilery stuff.
Spoilers, no. Yes.
But I'm not worried about track listing spoilers. I don't care about anything ominous unless it's super super obvious. Then I'm fine.
Well, anyway, I was gonna say we had the track times. I was gonna say we also have the the track names. We also have the track times. I don't know if you guys would want me to read those too or not.
The one, Jared. Here's the spoiler one. Okay, the finale.
It's called the finale.
Yes. And Tim and I were discussing this, and he's like, "Okay, look, these are the one. This was a leak of the track titles." And I'm like, "It's fake because there's never ever been a final track called the finale." And guess what? Well, there's a final track called the finale.
Actually, no. I think wasn't it that way for Empire? Come to think of it.
No, I think there's still like the Rebel Fleet and finale, or I'll have to look.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up now, actually.
I looked at all of them. I compared the original versions and the special edition version. Either way, Jared, you know, I'll just throw some out there. Chrome Dome, does that do anything for you?
Okay.
That's one of them?
Yes.
Really?
Fun with Finn and Rose.
Well, okay, I'm going to go through them, though, but I was going to say...
Let's throw them out.
Well, I just looked up The Empire Strikes Back. Track 17 is just called Finale. So,
In which version?
I don't know. Just close it. I think it said the Star Wars Trilogy, the original soundtrack anthology. And it has the original album cover on the front.
Interesting.
But anyway, no. So the tracks, they're 20. And it's about an hour, 17 minutes runtime, I believe. Track one is Main Title and Escape. All right. So far, so good.
Escape.
Yes.
My guess is it's going to start with Kylo Escape. We're going to go back in time from where the last movie left us. We're going to see Kylo and Hux escaping together, possibly even going into hibernation, you know. They have a long journey together, like Alien, but they sleep in the same crowd too because they're have fun. Anyway, go on.
Track two is called. Is it? I've heard of both. Is it Octo or Octo?
It's Octo two. Apparently, I don't know what the hell.
Well, it's that island. Is track two?
Yeah. Go on, Tim.
Track three is Revisiting Snoke.
That one's weird because there's one website I go on, and I won't name the names, but they're trying to figure out what's the concert version. Like, there's always a concert piece, sort of. They seem to think it might be Revisiting Snow. I don't know why, but.
I mean, it's 3 minutes, 29 seconds.
It feels like a concert to me, Tim. Anyways,
check four, The Supremacy.
Oh, see, that also feels concerty.
Yeah, I think that one would be more of a concert like, than Revisiting Snoke.
Yeah, that feels like a First Order marchy, look at my big Death Star-y sort of, or my big Star Destroyer-y
right.
deal.
Track five, Mark, you mentioned this one, Fun with Finn and Rose.
Huh?
No comments about that one?
No, I don't really care about that.
Okay. Six is Old Friends.
Okay, that one. What is that?
I saw someone suggest that it could be Leia and Haldo if they're old friends.
It could also be the first time they show like Luke hanging out with Chewie and R2.
I like it.
Because that was a spoiler that I heard months and months and months ago when you and I were still sticking around for spoiler talk from
from Jason and everybody before there were any trailers or anything. He had said that there was a scene that they didn't know much about, but that there'd be like a satisfying emotional reunion between Chewbacca and, and Luke. So that seems like a perfect fit and like a moment that you'd really want, like a nice emotional John Williams musical cue, you know, to pop up.
I would think that all ties in with Luke on the Falcon.
Oh yeah, that I think that that's pretty likely. If not, I mean, it's not like definite or anything. And the whole Leia idea makes sense as well. It could also be, who knows, like Poe could have worked with Paige before. There's all sorts of ways it could work, but it seems like that would be a good name for Luke returning to the Falcon to see R2 and Chewbacca for the first time in years.
That is true also. But track 7, the Rebellion is Reborn.
That's interesting.
Track 8 is Lesson 1.
Okay, well, I know what that is.
9, we have Canto Bite.
All right.
10, we have Who Are You?
Hmm.
11, I haven't heard anybody. Well, I don't know. Is it the Fathiers?
The Fathiers?
Yeah. Is that how you say it?
The funny thing is, if we're going in somewhat of a chronological order, it's really confusing. Go on.
12, The Cave.
I know what you are.
You make some educated guesses. I'm guessing that's a scene with porgs. that's porgs scampering around, just having a fun time. That's my
they all hang upside down in the cave and they.
Oh, I'd be officially on board with porgs. If they hung outside like a bat. Off
the floor and you know use the I don't know for a heating lamp. Yeah, it's fantastic. Keep going.
13, we have the Sacred Jedi Texts.
That's... Oh,
what? That's awesome.
Because
they're not spoilers. Do you know what I mean? They're just like, yeah. Like you said, they're imagination sparkers. They're not, you know, they don't tell me what's happening. I'm just like, what? I want to see that. And so much of it ties into something that either be implicit or that was hinted at in one of the first two trailers.
Oh.
Right.
Tim.
What's the next one?
Hold on, Tim. The Sacred Jedi Text. Remember that conversation we had the other day?
About that
Facebook thing that got deleted?
What is this?
Yeah.
That would be a nice time for that.
It could be. Yeah.
What is this about? Is this about a potential spoiler?
It's a spoiler. Yeah, it's a spoiler.
Real spoiler.
Yes.
The real spoiler.
Like legit spoiler.
Then I'm okay with that knowing. All
right. 14, we have a new alliance.
That's probably Holdo and DJ and I don't know, whatever the hell. Everybody's in there. Jeff Goldblum shows up.
Wow, okay.
We got Laura Dern. Jeff Goldblum.
15, we have Chrome Dome, but it's in parentheses.
Yes.
If that makes a difference to anybody.
I assume he calls her that.
16, we have the Battle of Crait.
Okay. Nice.
And that's...
Also just Porgs having fun.
that's the second longest track, too, behind Finale. It's at 6:48.
Porgs at play.
It's a snowball fight. That's...
Wow. 17, we have The Spark.
Because there's that one trailer where Poe
basically
is like, I read that book with Kanan and Hera. I saw the pilot for Rebels. So he's paraphrasing them with the Spark of Rebellion.
and then we have track 18, which is The Last Jedi.
Let's see there. That's when he comes out. Starts doing show enough and starts fighting.
I hope it does have like a a DMX vibe.
like very. It'd be awesome. He just starts. These guys just all they do is they draw glow around him, like they did in The Last Dragon. And you believe that he has the Force. He's unstoppable. Like someone punches his hand, Luke's hand.
You do a Dragon Ball Z style, and he could be like, he goes Super Saiyan. His hair could just go like start flowing straight up. Like there's just a wind machine under him, and like you said, there's like a glowing halo around him.
Yes, I want that, or I want him. I want Luke Skywalker to be like, I want him to be like Hulk Hogan, like Snoke's just beating up on him, and then all of a sudden he just starts just looking up.
He's just constantly putting his hand to his ear.
I'm the last Jedi.
Right. He came down with a case of Hulkamania. There's a danger when you're alone on an island for that long.
So, track 19 is called Peace and Purpose.
That one's weird.
I think that's the first one you mentioned, Mark.
It's weird, though. It's a weird crash.
No, I believe that I just didn't know what it was at first. I was like, what?
And then, oh, Tim, what's track 20?
It's a big mystery, but I'm going to reveal what track 20 is. It's Go finale.
Is that with an F or a PH like Philly?
You know, it's listed
like the
here.
Philly fanatic.
It's listed here with an F, but you never know. That could be a fake.
All right. Oh, a fake. Like with a PH or an F?
That's you mentioned phonetic and talking about the sounds, and it's making me think. I just read this thing about how sometimes they have to change company names when they go to languages that have really, really different conventions and different ideas behind everything and methodologies, because Asian languages are so different from Germanic and Latin languages. There's this company called Gold Lion that was like a really big Thai company, I think, in England. And when they tried to go to China, the direct translation, the characters for it, it sounds just the same as like some phrase that basically means you're going to lose all your money. So not a good name for any company. And like one of them was Die Today, one of the homophones. And I love the idea of words that sound the exact same but mean something completely different like that. And
I took some kind of business class at one point in college when I went, and one of the big stories about a flop was the Chevy Nova. Did fine here, no problems, but in Latin American countries they saw Nova as Nova, no go.
Right.
So the car didn't sell there. You know, even here we're talking about, oh, it's a star, it's planetary, and there it's like, oh, this car doesn't go anywhere, so no, I'm not buying it. So just one of those things that, along the lines of what Jared was saying.
Oh man, so. there's an instance where it was just this huge flaw where they just didn't think about it at all. But Batwing is the first black Batman cast member in the comic books. And the first version of him is a guy named David Zavimbe, who is out of the Congo, and he's like the Batman of Africa. And they ended up replacing him with Lucas Fox, who's Lucius Fox's MMA champion / electrical and mechanical engineer genius son. The son of the character played by Morgan Freeman in the Christopher Nolan movies. So he's in Gotham and he makes more sense. And the reason why they did that is in large part because in many different African languages, the direct translation of Batwing is a Papi Bawa, which is a version of a vampire demon who rapes people. He's just like this monstrous, like evil, like boogeyman character from several cultures. And it's like, yeah, no, DC Comics did not want to put that like scary night vampire rapist monster. It's not like a great name for a superhero who is like the protector of your country, of a real country too. Cause like so often they make fake countries when they do comic books because there's upheaval, there's changes in other in other landscapes. So they do fake countries in Africa and in the Middle East all the time in comics. But no, this was in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they had a guy with a really, really bad name. So they're like, we're just going to bring him
bring him back over here to America. Because, you know, and the problem was they hired well-intentioned people who didn't know anything about the culture to create it. And
you know, like, you know what's funny? We're talking about those type of – the one character who has never made a return, and I wonder, is the Israeli superhero, Sabra.
Yeah, and there's also a couple at DC. Like, there's a group, a whole group of called the Hayoth, I believe. That was a group of Israeli super soldiers. Like, they were heroes, and one of their characters was named Judith, but her code name was the Sword of Zion. So it was pretty.
Yeah, it's like we have
political.
well, technically, so is, you know, we have Muslim superheroes, but
no, it's true. And
they're keeping Sabra under wraps.
No, she hasn't made any appearances, I don't think, in a long time.
Since Contest of Champions back in the 80s.
Well, I read her as well. Peter David used her in The Hulk, I remember. But that guy is also the guy who made a bunch of characters who had, like, Jewish surnames, explicitly Jewish at Marvel. And, like, he made Leonard Sampson, who's a great Hulk character, into someone kind of more interesting. Doc Sampson, that guy was cool. He is a superhero psychiatrist who, like, did assessments on government-sponsored superheroes. So, like, he did Captain America's psych assessments for the Avengers. It's kind of awesome.
We should do a comic book podcast one day, and Tim can just host it or record it for us and sit back and go, all right. I really didn't care, but thanks. So, Tim.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave you monologuing, but I don't want to be spoiled anymore.
No, that's fine. There was one other thing I was going to mention that you already know about, Mark. I don't know if Jared, and it's music. I don't know if Jared would want to know about
music,
it.
It's music. Unless you're telling me like something major that's very, very obvious, I'm going to be okay.
No, it's music that implies a scene, but the scene is more of action rather than of actual
certain story.
But I'm fine with that. I trust your guys' discretion. You guys aren't hoodwinking me. So you can be like, oh yeah, it's just Finn dies sacrificing himself. Ray.
You know, this is the scene where they play Luke and Leia's theme, meaning that they reunite and have an embrace.
Man, I wish I really believed that was going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if it will either, but okay, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one of the guys who saw the movie at the world premiere, it's a verified Twitter account, and he, you know, pictures, all that good stuff. Anyway, he mentioned that one of his favorite parts musically in the movie was there's a scene when the asteroid field music is used. And that got me really, really excited because beyond character themes in Star Wars, that's the one piece of music I would really like to hear reused. And it hasn't been used since Empire.
It's an underrated one.
It really, like, it's so good.
It's like so between good. Between that and then I guess it's like one of the tracks that they call it Here They Come, basically from A New Hope, where Luke and Han get in the turrets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's like, dun, 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 it's like a little beat, you know?
Right.
Those are the two that I like to hear, but if I'm getting asteroid chased, that's great. In some other form, I'm fine with that.
I can just
don't know where it is, but
it has such a potential to be like that. Music can make almost any visual seem magical. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. And then you know, you tweeted me the guy. I had a little conversation with him today about the Return of the Jedi. One guy said there's a lot of Return of the Jedi music in it.
Uh huh.
And I talked to him for a little bit. He just says it feels more random than. Than design, so we'll see. I don't know if, yeah. Tim, did you even know I was talking to that guy?
No.
Yeah, he said there's one scene that it's a spoiler, but it's not a spoiler. He said there is the burning homestead version of a Return of the Jedi cue in Last Jedi. Does that make sense?
No.
Like when Ray got the lightsaber and they played the Burning Homestead music.
Right.
He said that's technically like, what? Why did they use that? But it feels so perfect. He said there's sort of that type of cue in Return of the Jedi that is, I mean, in Return of the Last Jedi.
Okay.
So, anyways, hopefully it's not Ewok music just randomly out of nowhere.
That would be odd. Could he have been referencing the asteroid field music?
It could be. He'd have to watch it, though, because we were talking about Return of the Jedi. Just follow the link you sent me and read the comments.
Oh, you weren't DMing him. It was like a public thing.
Oh, yeah, it's public.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll look at that. Yeah. Anyway, so I think that was it, yeah, for the whole music thing. And there were a couple people I was going to try to get on tonight who would be able, you know, be open to discussing some of these things, but it wasn't able to work out for pretty much all of them so far because it is a busy week, obviously. And I feel like the more and more, like, I don't know. Part of me feels like at this point, it might not be a good idea to discuss too many things because
3 days.
What?
It's 3 days. There could be the soundtrack waiting for me, Tim, right now.
Well, I'm just saying because like the huge part of this movie is emotion. So, you know, I get it. I'm perfectly fine knowing things, but I can understand why some people might be on the edge and then hear something and then wish they hadn't. So,
no, I think for what's funny is for the first time, Jared and I are sort of in the same place. Like, I think I know even less than Jared because I wasn't drunk listening to somebody tell the whole story at Celebration. So I don't even have that frame of reference. You know, I haven't watched nearly any, you know, of the TV spots. I've seen the trailers a couple times. I haven't obsessed over them. I haven't followed spoilers. If I have to come across them, you know,
yeah,
but I know there's other things out there. Like I know that Drew was telling me you and him were talking about something with Luke Skywalker the other day, and I don't want to know that, Tim. So I think I'm content if I can just keep this level of knowledge where it is and not gain anything else. It's going to be a win for me. Yeah, this is one of the first movies I'm going into just knowing nothing.
Yeah. Like that's exciting, right? Like I'm conflicted because I usually feel like Jason's articulated really well before many times on the podcast and in person, you know, but he feels like spoilers can actually make you like appreciate stuff more because you're not, I don't know, shocked by stuff. You're kind of taking everything in because you do know what's happening. And in many ways, I agree with that, but I also think you can achieve that upon the second viewing, you know, like, so it, while I'm not at all against spoilers, I'm really, really interested in, like you said, just not really knowing. Because usually I consume them so much, and this was just happenstance, you know, stuff that happened and came up, and it made me not actually end up seeing it all, you know, and not being aware of a lot of the stuff. So going into it, I'm not going to know what's coming. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we're gonna have a long conversation next week. So
yes, we really, really are.
It'll be so much fun. It'll be a great one, and yeah, and it'll just be fun to talk with you, in, you know, momentarily before you got to go off the home and everything a week from now, or not a week, 3 days from now.
3 days from now.
After the movie itself, and
yeah,
we'll be bugging Tim, I'm sure. Sending him texts so that he and DMs so that he'll get them when he gets out of his second viewing. Jerk.
Hey, I have to walk from the one theater to the other. Like.
Oh, boo freaking who?
No, I'm saying I have time to send you a text.
Oh, okay.
So, I want to wish everybody, you know, have a great, great Star Wars day. You know, Merry Star Wars Miss. Enjoy it. I hope you get lots of everything that you wanted. And you're not disappointed, but you know, we'll all have this wonderful conversation after we filled ourselves with Star Wars turkey and ham, and it should be fun. Sorry, Tim. Jesus.
No, it was just that was not what I was expecting to hear at this moment.
Oh, excuse me.
No,
let's talk spoilers.
It's fine, but yeah, no. Instead of monologuing about some stuff that people might not even want to hear, I don't know, because like you said, you and I were talking about some things, but it was half speculation anyway, and
yeah, I'm staying away from it.
I know, but I'm saying it's not like it's an entirely different thing.
Just whatever. Tell me about it later. I don't want to hear about anything that ruined my experience.
Stop trying to ruin his experience.
I hope Luke Skywalker dies.
What?
I just want anything to make Tim sad. Like, I hope Tim sends me a picture of like that, that Indian guy who always got sad at seeing trash on the ground.
Yeah. I heard a whole podcast on that thing where I think that guy was a fake Indian, that actor. Like, either he was or his competitor was. Yeah, it's a really interesting story. Like, it's amazing. It was really, really funny. I have to re-listen to it because it was a great episode of a podcast. But there's one non-spoiler thing I forgot that I wanted to mention that I really liked. Rian Johnson said something, or I really liked to read. I think he said maybe today, maybe he said it yesterday, but it was super recent. And it was just about how the press for the film and the marketing and trailers haven't really shown that about half the story is Finn's journey. I mean, it is that the story is really half Rey's and half Finn's, and talked about how excited he was for audiences to get to see Finn's half of the story. And that made me really pumped, because even though I've always been like super, super into Luke Skywalker and the Force, and like they were the only parts I really loved as a kid, I actually connected with Finn's character and like his like motivation at the beginning, and just the way his character was throughout The Force Awakens so much that I'm most excited to see his story. So that was really cool to read as someone who's really, really looking forward to seeing John Boyega and Finn continue their adventure. And you'd mentioned before, Mark, about not really knowing how much we'll get to see Kelly Marie Tran. We still don't know how Rose's character will actually play out, but knowing she's going to be with Finn and he's going to have kind of a really central component of the story, it gives me more hope that we'll get to know her more and she'll be a more central character.
But again, if you go to the Disney Awards website, they're not pushing anybody but Rey or Daisy Ridley as best actress. They're pushing Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker as best actor, and they're pushing everybody else as supporting. So it doesn't leave me to believe that Finn has an equal story. It leads me to believe
But maybe more close to equal than the trailers would have us believe, if that makes sense. Or the
I honestly don't. But okay,
I hope that it's possible that it's closer to an even sided story. I don't need him to have like 50% of it. Star Wars is always going to, at least the saga is always going to lean heavily on Force stuff and that goings on, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think no matter what, definitely in, here we go comparing it to Empire Strikes Back, but Luke Skywalker was the central character.
Oh, absolutely.
Number one, it was his story was the A story. Everything else was the B story. And I assume it's going to be the same thing here. We're going to probably have an A, B, and C. And the great thing is, I don't know how they all end up anywhere near each other at the end, or whether they do end up,
Like they do, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what Crait is or why it's there or how anybody ends up or why they go to this Canto Bight or what the point is. Or I don't know any of it, which is great. I know that these things exist. I just don't know how they fit together.
Yeah, I know all these creatures and stuff, but I don't know what any of it means or the order of any of it specifically, other than like really obvious stuff like Luke and Rey are going to meet at the beginning. I'm with you, man. The unknown is really appealing.
I think this time it really is.
Yeah. It's become a very unique experience. And I don't know. I don't think it was intentional, but in some ways I feel like it's making up, because we talked before about many times in the past, I think year or more, in terms of Rogue One and now this, but about comparing the hype for things, and specifically the question, if wanting Luke to come back and whatnot, if this has made us more hyped. I believe that was a question from Rob a while back. If it was more hyped for us than it was for The Force Awakens. But I feel like in some ways it's not the same, but it's kind of made up for that lack of hype for me, because that what had been gone for so long, we didn't know it was coming back. And now it's sort of the fact that it is unknown to me, and usually I have a really good idea of what's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
But you did I'm really looking forward to talking with you guys all about it and hearing everybody's thoughts and being able to know what we're talking about and know whether or not Vulp Texas are the next big thing or they were total ripoff.
Rip off of what?
I don't know. Just ripping us off. Pokemon. Selling us. Yeah. Selling us. I mean, they're going to be awesome. And then what? Maybe they just look really cool for a second and they get crushed by an ad.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then, because we had a different thing going for tonight, but that, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I think it works out better to be doing it this way and just ending it here. And like Jerry was just saying, get to some nice discussion next week after we've all seen the movie. There's going to be a lot to discuss, and it'll be a lot. So yeah.
Will Mark be converted to the side of Porgs or not? That's the big question. Will he be?
I'll let you know.
He'll let you know live.
Yeah, I'll know.
No, I might save it. I might save it.
What? No.
The suspense will kill Jared.
Off to see. Off to look at Mark's eyes when the Porgs appear.
No, I swear to God, I will cover my face. I'm going to wear a hoodie.
That's even better. You should have a Yoda mask.
Anyways, Jim, let's go.
All right. So, yeah, I guess that's it. And we'll see. And next week is going to be a big episode, beside the fact that we have Last Jedi, because then it should be, if I looked at the schedule right, I think it'll be the last episode for us of the year. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be, I believe it's going to be switching services, like hosting for the show. Like still the same network making Star Wars, all that, but the actual server and provider for the show, I think we're going to be switching. So we'll have to let you know about that next week too. And then on top of that all, there's this whole thing about episode 8. So we'll see you next week and like Mark said, have a great time watching the movie.
But let's not forget one thing. We might have a solo trailer to talk about even.
That's true. That's definitely a possibility.
And we don't even know it. So anyways, bye.
Bye.
Bye.